them. Why don't we stand and just welcome them? John and Carol are our founding pastors. And today we are celebrating our 6th anniversary. And it's so good to have them. It's a surprise to have Carol. I didn't know that she was coming. A good surprise. And you know what? Every time that I look at them, I just can't stop thinking of the goodness of God. I remember when I listened to Carol talking, and when John and Carol, they were saying that they were both divorced, and they thought that ministry is over. But God said, it's not over until I say it's over. And God touched them. And today they go all over the world preaching the good news, preaching the grace of God. And if we look at them this morning, it's only by the grace of God. If God can do that in them, we are also qualified. Amen?
Amen. Oh, thank you. Wow, it's good to be here. It's been a while since I've been here. And I'm so really glad that I could come this morning and be with you. I wanted to talk to you a little bit about some of the things that God is. You have to pardon my speech. I just have a retainer in my mouth. So I'm learning how to speak properly now. Ooh. So this is fun. Feels like you got this mouthful of plastic in there. Anyway, some of you know that I have been sick for a little while, and thank you all for praying for me, because God has come through. I am fine. I had a very good report the last time I went to Germany that my colon is doing really well and is healed, and yay. So, woo-hoo! Thank you, Jesus. And the other thing that I wanted to talk to you about is my 10-minute worship. And I have a little timer on my belt, and it goes off every 10 minutes. And I worship the Lord every 10 minutes. And it is phenomenal. I mean, I so encourage you to do that. You can put it on your phone. You can put it on all, there's watches that have repeat timers on them, and there's these little things. We have them at the church, but it is phenomenal. The presence of God, wow, that you walk in when you do that, it's just amazing. By the end of the evening, you can hardly stand on your feet. The presence of God is so incredibly wonderful. Because you see, it says in the Word in Luke 4:23 that the Father is looking for those that will worship Him in spirit and in truth. Ah, and so Jesus wants a bride that loves Him and that worships Him. The Father wants His kids to be grateful. And I tell you, it is amazing how negative, and I'm not a negative person usually, but it's amazing how, you know, a driver might cut us off in traffic, or somebody might do something, or, you know, and you're kind of, and then the timer goes off, and you're going, whoops, wait a minute, Lord. Ah, no, I bless them, I worship you, Lord. I mean, it really keeps you on a positive note. And if you're down, and if you're discouraged, if you have problems in your life, this is the most incredible way to be lifted from that heaviness, to be lifted out of problems. I mean, I'm just so over the moon about it. I heard about it when I was in Germany from another doctor, Dr. Arne Elson, who is going to be coming to speak October, yeah, at airport. So I really encourage you to come and bring people that need healing. But the Lord spoke to him 9 years ago and told him to start worshiping the Lord every 10 minutes. And as he started to do that, now he's a medical doctor, working, has a clinic of his own, quite, you know, a prominent doctor in Germany. But he began to do this. And as he did this, he began to see more and more healings happening. So that now he's getting, on an average, and it's increasing every year, it's getting more and more. But now he's getting like minimum of 4 terminally ill people healed a week, plus all kinds of other healings are happening. And he tells the people, he prays for them, and he tells them to go home, get a 10-minute, or get a timer, and worship the Lord every 10 minutes and read one page front and back of Scripture every day. And he's just getting testimony after testimony after testimony of the healing love of God. So, as you can tell, I'm really excited about this praising. I want thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of people around the world worshiping God every 10 minutes. Can you imagine the atmosphere change? Can you imagine how the Christians are going to start to look? We're not going to look like we're baptized in lemon juice. We're going to look like we're absolutely filled and going for it with the Lord. I mean, it's just going to be a revolution. And I think the byproduct will be incredible signs and wonders as we get continually filled. And as his presence comes on you all during the day, I'm waiting for the day. And last night I was thinking, oh, Holy Spirit, he just kept, as I was getting ready for bed, the timer went off. And so I'm, worshiping the Lord. And I mean, you need to stop and, worship him. And now I do it. Even if I'm, out somewhere, if I'm speaking, but if I'm out somewhere and I really can't, go like that, then I just do it in the back of my head and continue to talk to people. But you can continually do it. It's just phenomenal. But anyway, as I was saying last night, the Holy Spirit sustained on me, just kept coming and coming and coming and coming. And my goal is, oh, come on, everybody raise their hands. Buzzer just went off. Lord, we worship you. We love you. We honor you and we praise you. Ah, we give you glory. There's no one like you, Jesus, our bridegroom king. Oh, we love you. We love you. We love you. Your children. I just want to say you are unbelievably fantastic. Wow. Ha. But my goal is that the Holy Spirit will sustain, from one 10-minute to the next 10-minute, so that I'm walking in the tangible. I know we walk with the Holy Spirit at all times, but the feeling tangible presence of God, oh, I mean, what a difference that'll make. I mean, I want to do like Paul did, walk by somebody and my shadow heal them. Or Peter, yes, sorry. Peter walked by them. And, or when you go by somebody, they'll say, what is that with on you? And, when you want to pray for somebody, that presence is there to heal. I'm excited about it. So get yourself a timer that repeats. There's apps for your phone. And the only problem with my app is that when the phone rings, it cuts it off, so then I forget to get it. So I like my timer.
Oh, yeah, Carol. How many want a touch this morning? That was a little weak. Why don't we just, yes, Lord, here I am. I would really, really love to be filled up again with the Holy Spirit. Because as we go through life, there's a danger of just kind of getting used to things, used to the environment, used to things at work, used to the neighbors, used to everything, used to church even. And so we kind of lose that edge. But you know what? We are living in the most exciting times that have ever been since the book of Acts was written. And, part of us would love to say, I'd have loved to live back there in Jesus' day, wouldn't you? But we might have been at some far-flung part of the Roman Empire, never even heard about what was going on. So this time now, people are aware that God is moving all over the earth. It's happening in Toronto. It's happening in Europe. It's happening in Asia. It's happening in Africa. It's happening in Latin America. God is moving all over the place, and you and I get to be a part of it. How many have been on a short-term outreach at one time or another? Let's see. Raise your hands. Wave at me excitedly. If you had a good time, wave excitedly. If you were bored while you were there, you know, you don't need to wave. And the rest of you, I want to encourage you. You got a trip coming up to Peru, and in September. And so that would be something to really believe God for, because it will transform your life going. And what you do is because we don't think we know all that much. Ah, well, what could I do? I'm just, you know, average. I'm just normal of this and that. But you would be amazed at the deposit that God has dropped into your heart by coming here regularly and getting filled up and believing God. And then when you go and have the opportunity to give it away, it is absolutely amazing what can happen. Do you believe me? How many want to go? See, now the first thing is, I'd love to go, but what's the response? No money. I don't have the money, right? You know, I would say 90-95% of everybody that goes on a mission like this does not have the money on the front end. Now, there are people who, you know, just can write it a check and no problem. But most of us have to believe God. Where's that finance going to come from? And as you do, it starts to come in miraculously. Do you know that finances can come in by faith? Yes. Is it the will of God for us to go and spread the good news all over the world or not? Yes, it is. So is he behind this thing or not? Yes, he is. And so why don't we just partner with him and agree with him and say, I'm going to believe God for the money. How much is it to go to Peru? $1,200. Only $1,200. Such a deal. Oh, plus airfare. Oh, yeah. Okay, so all in. Well, how much is it?
Airfare's like $800-$900. If you buy straight load stuff, it's a bit more.
Okay, so $2,500, right?
God can do it.
15 days. So that's 2 weeks, so that's a really good trip. I want to encourage you to do it. We've been doing this for years and years, and I mean, when we were a small church in Stratford and then really also in Toronto, we took teams at least once a year, usually down to Latin America. And what we learned there is, hey, the stuff we believe really works over there. And we would come up a notch or two or three. When you come back home, it takes you a couple of days to realize, whoa, doesn't work so good here. I don't know why, but anyway, we always came up a notch or two every time. And so will you. And it's the process of your heart believing that, yes, God can use little old you. Remember Randy's line about that, Randy Clark? God can use little old you. And he absolutely wants to do it. Hey, Joe, back there. How are you? Good, thanks. Well, hello to everyone. We're just delighted to be here. It seems like there's so many campuses now that if I get to them once a year, we're doing good, right? Because we're just gone all the time. And I've just recently got back from a trip to Egypt and Kenya and then Holland and then home Monday. And we go again Wednesday on some stuff in the U.S. But that seems to be my lot these days, being an ambassador of revival here and there and everywhere, all that we go. But I'm happy to report that God is moving mightily in all these nations. And I wish you could have seen the Egyptians. Actually, they streamed the meeting, so Carol watched it from home. And we had meetings in Egypt where people were getting touched by the Holy Spirit. And it was just really, really cool. Because we know they're in the news, don't we? Yeah. So God is happily at work all over the earth. Are you excited?
Yes.
You should be. And not only that, but you can be a part of it. I want to read a testimony to you just before we get going. This happened in Kenya, and I think it'll bless you. So here we go. I thought it was, this is Chloe Glasborough writing, and Chloe heads up Catch the Fire in England, and her and Stu pastor the Catch the Fire Church in London, England. I thought I would write this for you to hear how this process went. We were in Ekwanda Parish, Western Province, Kenya, and had medical and feeding programs running, partnering with the Mothers Union, which is with the Anglican Church, by the way. We have some Anglicans here today, I think, right? Right here? Welcome to you. And so we were there hosted by the Anglican Church in Kenya. Anyway, the Mothers Union, and an old man walking toward me with a walking stick, and I started chatting to him, she says. I looked at his eyes and realized they were completely shut together and looked like they were stitched together. They were solid and stuck. I asked him what happened. He said his left eye went blind when he was a little boy, and he suffered from measles, and the infection got so bad that his eye had to be removed. His right eye then had to be taken out due to a farming accident when a stick flicked up and hit him in the eye. So here he is now as a young man, totally blind and no eyeballs at all. His name is Gideon, and I looked at him, and I was overwhelmed with the Father's love for him and started to weep. We started to sing over him, and he was so overwhelmed by the Holy Spirit, and then we forced his eyelids open, and they were empty sockets, dry and dull. Then the Holy Spirit said, spit on his eyelids. Ooh, that would be a tough one, wouldn't it? How many think I would do that? Anybody? Put up your hand if you think I would do that. I mean, hey, you're way over in Africa. What the heck? You never see this guy again. What can it hurt, right? So anyway, she did. She spit on his eyelids. And as I did that, his eyes started to fill with tears, which had not happened for years because he had no tear glands. We continued to sing and declare that Jesus is our healer. I then asked him if I could open his sockets again. And as I know that the vision I'd had last year was for him, I said, Father God is your creator and is releasing new eyes from heaven for you now. So just receive them. We opened the sockets and they had become moist and tears started to well up even more. There was a white ball the size of my fingernail starting to grow in the right eye and then the same in the left. And the socket started to have fresh flow of blood and life started to come as the inside changed from dull brown to red. As we opened his eyelids, which had no muscles anymore, Gideon started to flinch. His eye sockets with the new eyeballs slowly growing, starting to react to light. As we asked him what was happening, and he said, I can see shapes. I can see light. Then when we said the Catch the Fire team would soak him for the day and to rest under the shade, on his way back to the bench, he suddenly said, I can walk. I have no pain anymore in my joints. So not only did Gideon start to have new eyes, but Jesus also healed his body. And we have called the parish and found out that Gideon has started to open and close his eyes himself as the muscles in his eyelids have started to function again and the definition is increasing and increasing in his eyeballs as they continue to grow and develop. He is seeing more and more shapes, more and more light, and we're sending Penny and Derek, those are their mission directors there, to go and check on him. What an awesome testimony. I've never been so filled with compassion as much as when I set eyes on Gideon, and the overflow of Dad's love was intense. Even if the whole trip was just for Gideon, it was worth it just for this. Isn't that an awesome testimony? Woo! That just happened a week ago. There's a man seeing who had lost all hope. Can you imagine? Both eyes are even removed, so there's nothing there. And God's like, I don't think this will stop us. Just let's grow new eyes in the man. Incredible. I want to share with you today that the perspective that I have is that we are living now in the best of times as well as the worst of times. That old quote from The Tale of Two Cities, you know, referencing London and Paris, it began, we are living in the best of times and the worst of times. And I think that even more, that's true today, because there's so much good going on and there's so many bad things going on all over the world. Have you noticed? And if you're not careful, that can unsettle you and begin to put fear in your heart. But the Bible says, what? Fear not. He's not given us the spirit of fear. Power, love, and sound minds, and the ability to take a hold of God and believe. You know, Carol's little timer, I mean, this is just an ideal way to do it. I finally started doing it myself. And, you know, I got one now that I finally managed to get it figured out, get it working. And it just does. It beeps every, or it vibrates really every 10 minutes as a reminder to praise the Lord. And Dr. Elson, who she referenced, he's found that if he gives people a prescription. He says, I'll pray for you, but I want you to do this. I want you to read 2 pages of the Bible every day, and I want you to praise the Lord every 10 minutes, which is 2 pages. Carol said, it's 1 page front and back, right? 2 pages. And praise him every 10 minutes. And he finds that residual presence of the Holy Spirit that flows through praise begins to keep people in a positive attitude of their heart with their eyes upon the Lord. But also there's an anointing that's released. And we see this all the time. Like the healing I just read to you. What if they just prayed quickly for like 30 seconds? Lord, let this man's eyes be healed or whatever. Oh, nothing happened. Oh, well, maybe he has no faith, whatever, and we move on. Oh, no, it is the Father's will to heal him. And because we don't carry the anointing like Jesus did, we need to give it more time. I mean, that's the best I can do with an explanation like that. But as they soaked him and carried on praying for him, and there were many other miracles too, like a boy deaf and dumb. I mean, you know, just so many miracles that happened over there. And yet, the point that I want to make is soaking. Is to continually stay in there and let the anointing just keep trickling in. And as that happens, miracles, miracles, miracles. And this is the whole church around the world is waking up to this thing. And they're realizing, wow, God can use little old me. Have a look at your hands right there before you. See those hands? Aren't they wonderful? Haven't they been faithful to serve you, to wash your face and dress you and undress you and cook your meals and all the rest of it? Write your letters and type your emails and all that. Well, those same hands are the ones that he wants to use to be a tremendous blessing to the world around you. And one of the ways is to let the Holy Spirit that's in you begin to flow into the person next to you. So why don't we practice that just for a minute? Why don't you intentionally lay hands on somebody and send the anointing that's in you into them and say, go on, fire on you in Jesus' name. Let fire come upon you now in Jesus' wonderful name. Whoa. Yeah. Drink him up. He's here for you to experience him, experience his love, to be filled up with him. And see, as we press in for people with their needs and miracles, which I'd like to do today before we're all done, we want to pray for those who need a miracle. But let me get back to my message quickly. We're in the best of times, but we're in the worst of times too. Can you think of any disasters that have happened in the last 10 or 11 years or more? Huh? We kind of started the new millennium with with 9/11, didn't we? Was that 2001 in September 11th? And oh my goodness, it just, when that happened, I knew that the world was going to be a different place. But we were just following hard on the 20th century, where they had the worst two wars ever. World War I, World War II. World War II, I think there were 60 million people died, mostly civilians. And it was just horrible. And the devastation of that on lives and everything else. But then it's almost like it's even more so now, going faster and faster and faster. And there's a passage in the Bible that talks about birth pangs. And ladies, you know about that, don't you? How many have had babies here? See, my children were born when they wouldn't let men into the delivery room. So I was a little like not knowing and not particularly wanting to know. So I asked Carol recently, so tell me, babe, what about these contractions? And well, they're not so bad at first. But then they get stronger and more intense and more intense and more frequent and more frequent until, you know, something's going to burst here. And the baby's born. And Jesus said, that's how I'll be in the time of the end. And we need to pay attention to that, because the best of times are upon us, but the worst of times are also upon us. And where does that leave us? We need to anchor our faith in the Lord like never before. How many of you are ready to ride this thing out, if need be? Are you in here for the long haul? Are you just a fair weather Christian, or are you going to go the distance here? Huh? Wave at me. I'm in. I am in. Like Peter said, where else would we go? You're the only one who has the words of eternal life. There's nowhere else to go. Well, anyway, these birth pangs are getting stronger and stronger. And so we had that 9/11 thing, and we just kind of got over that. And by the way, that took a toll on the revival in Toronto, because people were afraid to fly after that. Then right after that, we had the SARS epidemic. Remember that? And now people are afraid to come to Toronto, for goodness sake. I mean, we flew down somewhere to, I don't know, it was Texas or wherever. And as a gag, they met us at the airport with these surgical masks on. And we're like, yeah, very funny. And then there was in 2006, we had that tsunami, remember? That just, there's never been a tsunami like that, that wiped out 200,000 people and just crashed into everywhere along the way. Did it hit Mauritius at all? Yes. It did, didn't it? And many, many nations in India and Africa and everything, it was just a disastrous thing. And then we had the wars start up in Afghanistan following 9/11, and then quickly spread to Iraq. And so we've got these major wars going on that are absolutely draining the economy and causing all kinds of political upset. And it just goes from there. Terrorism spreading. Spain, UK, I mean, they had a big bust here right in Toronto, didn't we? How many of them were 18 or something that were arrested? I mean, this, the whole thing of that international terrorism is a huge, huge deal. And before we get that settled, then there's a volcano goes off in Iceland. Do you remember that? That was only a year ago, I think. That volcano in Iceland, many of us were in Europe at the time, and Mark DuPont was stuck 3 days in Paris. Duncan and Kate were stuck 5 days in England, as was John and Trish Bootsma. And everybody's nervous that that smaller volcano that's causing all that trouble is going to set the big one off. Do you remember those volcanoes? Those unpronounceable volcanoes? Yeah. And, oh my goodness, they were remembering that that big volcano that fortunately didn't go off or hasn't gone off yet was the thing that caused the French Revolution. Did you know that? So how so? Do you remember the line Marie Antoinette said, let them eat cake? Why did she say that? Because they came and said, they have no bread. Why did they have no bread? Because that volcano had gone off 2 or 3 years before and had wiped out the harvests in much of Europe for over 3 years, and they literally had no grain, no bread. And when that comment was made, boy, that was the last straw. And so we had the French Revolution and came that close to having one in England, so on too. Thankfully for the gospel, it stopped that. But anyway, these things are birth pangs. Can you see it? And they're getting bigger, and they're getting more and more intense, and they keep coming and coming. Well, we no sooner finished the volcano than we have this oil spill down there in the Gulf of Mexico, this massive oil spill. And we still don't know all the implications of that, but there's that heavy, thick layer of oil just lying on the bottom of the seabed there. It's so heavy it won't even float. And it just spewed that out, and it just took months, it seemed, to get that stopped. And, yeah, we no sooner get the oil spill done, and then we get European winters like they've never had in recorded history. I remember seeing a satellite picture of England, the whole island, England, Scotland, well, all of it completely white, covered in snow, every part of it. And they can't remember when that's last happened. I mentioned I was just in Holland. I said, hey, did you guys skate on the canals again this year? He said, yeah, we sure did. It was a freezing cold winter. And they're like, we can't remember when we've had winters like we've had in the last 2 years. See, these are little things that if you just take them by themselves, you think, oh, well, no big deal. I mean, stuff goes wrong, doesn't it? Here a little, there a little. That's just life. But I want you to wake up to this. Have you heard the expression, boiling the frog? How many have heard that? You know what I mean. How many don't know what I'm talking about? Okay, well, don't try this at home. But they tell me, if you take a frog and put him in a pot of cold water on the stove, and then you turn the heat on really ever so slowly, that frog will sit there. And as it gets hotter and hotter and hotter and hotter and hotter and hotter, it'll boil to death because it's getting warm so slowly that the frog doesn't notice. It's like, hey, I think it's getting a little hot in here, but it's been hot anyway. And you know. But if you take it and put it in boiling hot water, it'll instantly jump right out, boiling the frog. And that's what the conditioning that's going on with the human race right now. And we're saying, okay, well, disease here, SARS here, flu there, volcanoes here, oil spill there. I mean, life goes on. Terrorism here, okay, plot there, this and that and the other. But life goes on. Listen, these are birth pangs that are getting more and more intense and more frequently. And something is about to happen. What's the baby that's going to be born, by the way? On the one hand, a horrible conclusion to it all. But on the other hand, the coming of the King and the kingdom of Jesus Christ. So it's going to end up fine. But let me keep going. All those winters and floods, it's not just there. It's here too, isn't it? I mean, Washington, D.C. had 3 feet of snow last winter. At one time, I mean, it just shut everything down in New York, too. And now we're dealing with the aftermath of all that snow. I was just reading about the flood in Winnipeg, where they had to open the levees and flood something like 250 homes because of, if they don't, it's going to overflow and just have widespread disaster. Meanwhile, in the U.S., it's much worse. The whole Mississippi River just flooding like crazy. Hundreds of homes just being underwater and everything right now as we sit here. Hurricanes. Gosh. When was the last time you ever heard a hurricane destroyed a city? Can you believe New Orleans is still absolutely on the ropes, and much of it in ruins because of a hurricane that flooded those levees and everything else and just destroyed that city. Famine in North Africa, that receding desert, what's the name of it? The Sahara Desert, going down. We have Terrier from Norway. He ministers there in Niger, and Duncan goes over there all the time, and maybe some of you have gone too. But those tribes people that were winning to the Lord have their livelihood by cattle, and they have cattle maybe 30, maybe 50, maybe 80 or more. And their cattle have completely all died off. These people are starving to death because there's been no rain. And it's just ridiculous, the famine that's going on in North Africa. And then we get earthquakes, don't we? Do you remember Haiti? That was just a year and a bit ago. Completely destroyed a city. One of our friends there, Christina Stewart, was in Port-au-Prince when that happened. And she managed to climb out through the rubble, and the house she was staying at had the presence of mind to bring her purse, which fortunately had two very important items. One was her passport. The other was a bottle of water. So you don't think that something like this would be priceless until you got 3 days in the sun without anything but that. Imagine. And that city's devastated and still is, reeling from all that happened down there. And so we no sooner get that earthquake, which was a 7, I think, then we had a 9 in Chile. And that one in Chile, fortunately, wasn't in the city part, but it shifted the earth there. In other words, your house might have moved 16 feet from where it was in its geoposition. And it was so violent, it slightly affected the earth's axis. And, of course, now the one that's just happened in Japan, a 9.1, also shifted the earth something like 9 or 10 feet over from where it was and shifted the earth's axis. See, when the earth's axis goes from here to here, of course, it's not a big move, but it's slight, even that is going to exacerbate the weather patterns. And all this is happening, and you've heard it all, but it's like boiling the frog, isn't it? Oh, yeah, one more bad news, one more bad news. Where is it all going, Lord? I'm telling you, it's leading up to these birth pangs that are coming. And so then we had them in New Zealand, and then the tsunami, the Japan, and then the tsunami that hit Japan. And we no sooner deal with that than all this upheaval now in the Middle East. Demonstrations, rioting starting in all those North African countries and all through the Middle East. And where is this all going to go? Do you guys pay attention to the news? When's the last time you read Luke 21 or Matthew 24 or Mark 13? See, these are there for a reason, to give us a heads up on where our heart needs to be and where we need to be going, because all of this stuff is happening all around us. We are living in the worst of times, and it could get much worse. What was the first country that went over there? Not Morocco, but over near Tunisia. Thank you. It was Tunisia. Then it spread to Egypt. You know, I was just in Egypt, as I mentioned. And right there on the Nile is the big government building that housed Mubarak and his government and everything, a burned out shell. And a lot of people died. And so now everybody's there wondering, well, what's going to happen? Is it going to be better or going to be worse? I don't know. But I can tell you some things that happened. One of the first things that happened was the police kind of ran for their lives. There's no police. They went in and opened the prison, let all the prisoners out. So you got no police, and you got all the bad guys let go. Well, very quickly, they rounded up those arrested for terrorism from Palestine and everything. Those guys were expedited right to Gaza. They were rescued by their people and taken to Gaza immediately. And so all that kind of unrest going on in Egypt. And then it spread to Syria, and it spread to this country and that country and Lebanon and all of them. And I mean, the whole Middle East is almost up in arms. And right today, as we're here in church, they rallied to come to all the borders and frontiers of Israel and to say they were storming the borders and and there was shooting and people dying because Israel is saying, you're not going to just come in here, just stampede the borders like that. And so this tremendous stuff is ready to blow. Then you have Iran saying that Israel is a one-bomb problem, and we would like to blow them off the face of the earth, and then the world could have peace. That kind of talk. And see, that the water, the frog is just about ready to boil to death, isn't it? It's just really, really, really heating up. And yet, at the same time, we have, let me finish my list. Just a couple of weeks ago in the U.S., North Carolina had something like 62 tornadoes. So it's weather gone crazy. 62 tornadoes. Some of them were the size of grapefruits. Can you imagine getting hit by hail that was the size of a grapefruit? That would be like, ouch, if you managed to live through it. So enough of the bad. How many of you would really like to be living during the time when Jesus returned to the earth? Or would you just as soon, you know, live and die and, I mean, what an exciting time. So I want you to realize that God is moving all over the earth, okay? How many have seen the video of, that's called 1040? Have you guys not seen that? 1040 is a mission video that's talking about the 1040 window, particularly as it applies to China and Asia. And so in that video, they make the statement that China, in 10 years, will be a Christian nation. Will be. Probably is already. And every day, you've heard me say this for years, every day in China, 30,000 new believers come to Christ. 30,000 every day. That's a million a month, and it's been going on for years. It'll be a Christian nation. Indonesia, it's boasting as the largest Muslim country in the world. When I first went there, Carol and I came into ministry because of a short-term outreach to Indonesia. We went there as business people wondering what could we do to help them, and we got so ruined and wrecked by the love of those people that we came home in tears saying, we can't give our lives to business anymore. We've got to go into the ministry. And so we did. We told the Lord we'd go anywhere. Don't let him hear you say things like that. He sent us to Carol's hometown, Stratford. Well, there's lots of snow, and I don't know. But anyway, we went to Stratford, started a church, practiced on those poor people. But when we were there in 1980, how many weren't even born in 1980? Yeah. We were there in 1980. They officially said Indonesia is 97% Muslim and 3% other religions, Christianity being one of them. They've revised that a couple of times with censuses over the years. So today, 30 or so years later, now they're saying 12% Christian. Do you know what it is, actually? I was just with Mel Tari 2 weeks ago in California, and I asked him, I said, Mel, tell me, what do you think? What percentage of Indonesia is Christian? He says 35 to 40%. And I said, that's exactly what the guys over there told me, what Mark McClendon and some of the others over there that we know has said. It's But he said, we like to keep it low, like the government, so we stay under the radar. But it's actually too late. We are taking over that country. Isn't that amazing? That's Indonesia. Then we go to India. I'm looking forward to going to India. I'll be there again this December. And We're going to Dinakaran's University to talk to them about the Father's love, and then up to Delhi to do a pastor's conference with 2,500 pastors who are going to essentially be taking the leader's school, the ILSOM, and just get their hearts wrung out and refreshed, you know, just like we did in Kenya last week. I mean, it's amazing. But India is being swept by the gospel. Yay! Yay. CBN, our good friends, Gordon Robertson, Pat Robertson, CBN last year won 10 million people to Jesus in India. Just one ministry. And they did it the year before, and they did it the year before that. And they're planting all these house churches. And I tell you what, the people in India, they don't just keep it all to themselves. Oh, I don't want to offend my neighbors. No, no, no. They blab it all over town. They say, hey, you need to be saved. That stuff you're doing, that just leads to death. There's no hope in it. You need to be saved. You need Jesus. And it's rocking the nation. It really, really is. It's incredible. And then there's Africa. Do you know, sub-Sahara Africa is 50% born again. Sub-Sahara. The largest church in the world is in Lagos, Nigeria. I forget the pastor's name. It has over 3 million people. It used to be in Korea, you know, the largest church with Young E Cho for many years. 500,000, 600,000, 700,000 members. Now, Africa's just blown that away. There's over 3 million members in that church. The buildings cover the size of several football fields. There are no unemployed in the church at all. If you're attending that church and you have no job, immediately you're into a training and retraining program so you learn something that you can do so that you can be gainfully employed. It's amazing. They're taking it over. I've been to Ghana twice. I'll be going again in November. One of our guys, George Amponson, has a very big business going on over there. And anyway, 2/3 of Ghana, born-again Christians. 2/3. What do you think Toronto would be like if 2/3 were, I'm not talking about just nominal Christians. I'm talking about born again, loving Jesus. Now, they're not perfect, and they need to, you know, don't steal, don't take bribes, and they need to learn all this stuff. But they're coming. They've been born again. A mighty revival swept that country back in the mid-80s, and it's never recovered. It's incredible what's happening in Ghana. Africa is exploding with the gospel. What about the Middle East? Well, God's moving in the Middle East. A year ago, well, 6 months ago, last November, I went to Turkey for the very first time. We met a missionary named Andrew Brunson, and Andrew begged us, will you please come? And we just, there were two things. I felt a bit of a tug to go, but also Ralph Beisner harassed me to the point where I said, okay, we'll go. And so we went. And I had my eyes open about Turkey. My goodness. It was a beautiful country with modern roads. I mean, it's just kind of like Europe, doing really, really well. And it's totally Muslim. But I noticed that every meeting we had, there was a group of people from Iran with their own interpreter translating from my message into Farsi, their language. And I every meeting, and I think I had four stops there, four locations. And so I couldn't wait to ask these guys. I said, guys, I need to know. Before I came over, we met with someone who's involved in Iran. He told me that there are 1 million Christians, mostly young people, in Iran that have recently been born again. Is that true? And do you know what they said? No, it's not. There's at least 2 million, if not more. I said, really? See, you know, Iran is one of the nations named that's going to attack Israel in the end time. And see, it's the mercy of God being poured out there. It's not just them. It's happening in Lebanon. It's happening in Syria. It's happening in Egypt. It's happening in even Saudi Arabia. People are getting fed up with Islam and terrorism and all that stuff that goes with it. And they're saying, there's got to be something better than this. Is there a God of love? And they're hearing it. And so in Iran, the gospel is being broadcast in. CBN and others are sending television in. And there's radio in. You know, you guys know Majid El-Shafi? Well, he's broadcasting over there into Arabic, and it's going into all the other countries, Iraq and everything else. And so God is moving. So that's good. The media is getting in there. But more than that, there are being supernatural visitations of Jesus and dreams of Jesus coming to those people. And they're going, wow, the prophet Isa came to me and told me that he's the way. I should follow him. Well, I got a hold of Joel Rosenberg's book. And I don't know how many of you have read his series on the last jihad and all the five. And I mean, if you like cliffhanging suspense thrillers, you will love that series of five. It keeps you up till 2 a.m. or more reading what is going to happen. But he always brings in prophetic scripture and stuff like that. Well, anyway, he wrote books that are not fiction or novels, but they're actually his take on the Middle East, because he spent 20 years over there as a New York Times reporter and stuff. And boy, he wrote about, this last one was called Go Inside the Revolution, isn't it? Inside the Revolution. And three parts. First part is the jihadis are extremely dedicated and very, very dangerous and a serious threat to our world. That was one. Number two, the moderate Muslim leaders are being very, very effective at actually overcoming them. They are winning and taking over from that extreme position. Number three, the Church of Jesus Christ is absolutely wreaking havoc in the Muslim world right now. And his estimate was not 1 million in Iran, not 2 million in Iran, but out of a population of 70 million, 7 million young people mostly have come to Jesus Christ through supernatural visitations, dreams, visions, etc., and as well as being supported by the media. This is unheard of. But I'll tell you a couple of quick stories from that. Favorite ones I love. This one was a remote village. About 500 people, one night, half the village had the very same dream. And the dream was, Jesus Christ is Lord. The prophet Esau said, follow me, and I will lead you to life. Turn away from your tradition and follow me. Now imagine, how would you share that news in the morning, you know? A radical country where you could lose your life for saying anything against the Quran or Muhammad or any of that stuff. And you're going to say, you know, I had a strange dream last night. It was, oh, really? Your friend says, so did I. Well, mine was kind of like a religious dream. Really? So was mine. Well, mine was actually about the prophet Esau. What? So was mine. And he said, well, he told me to follow him, that he was the way, the truth, and the life. Wow, that's exactly what he said to me. As they began sharing and comparing stories, they found that half the village had the same dream in one night. They went, wow, God, what are you saying? So the leaders began to pray, and they got another dream from the Lord, which the Lord said, that spot right there, someone will come, and a car will stop, and he will deliver the books to you. My books. Okay, so meanwhile, we have a frightened little pastor, and he's smuggling Bibles into Iran, and he has a friend with him, and so they're like, we got to take the back roads because we don't want to be stopped, and we don't want police to find us with a carload of Bibles here. So they're all on the back roads, and they're going through this mountain, da-da-da-da-da. It's dark and, you know, all the rest of it. And all of a sudden, they come to this particular spot, and the car stopped. It just died, and it will not go. No way. It's just not going to go. So they're sitting there. What are we going to do? Next thing, on the window. He just rolls the window down a little bit. Yes? The guy says, have you got the books? He's all of a sudden like, ah, oh no, who are they? Are they the police? Like, what's going to happen? No, God has come to us in a vision. He said you would come and bring books. And so the whole village got Bibles that day, according to the dream and the word of the Lord. Isn't that amazing? That's happening. It's a documented story. I love the other one, too, is this woman is at home watching television. This young woman. And she's surfing the channels on her illegal satellite dish that everybody has. So they're not supposed to have them, but everybody has them. And so she comes to this channel, is talking about Isa, Jesus. She says, I want to watch that. Well, here, it's the whole movie of Bill Bright that they made with Campus Crusade about Jesus. And she watched it beginning to end, 2 hours long. And she wept through that story, that, wow, I didn't know he was that kind. I didn't know he was that loving. I didn't know how wonderful. I didn't know he died. I didn't know he rose again. I didn't know he healed all those people. Wow, this is amazing. And she's just getting overwhelmed by it. Well, then the movie ends, and the announcer came on, and he starts reading from Revelation chapter 3. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone would hear my voice and open the door, I'll come in, and I'll eat with him, and we'll fellowship together. And so she doesn't realize that he's reading a verse. She thinks this is what you do next. So she goes to her apartment, opens the door. Here's this bright light meets her. And she's like, ah. And he says, yes, I'm Jesus. May I come in? Yes, come in. Shuts the door. And they had time together, and they had meal together and everything else. And she's just absolutely, gloriously born again. And when that was over, she sees there's a number on the screen. And she said, call this number. So she phones the number, and it goes from Iran to Russia to Europe somewhere, up to the satellite, back down into the U.S., where they've got some Farsi-speaking counselors. And this lady's all excited and says, wow, I just met Jesus. I saw this Jesus film, and da-da-da. And the counselor's like, yeah, isn't it a wonderful film? You're like, no, the film was great, but I met Jesus. He actually came to my apartment, and we met together, and we talked together. He was with me, and absolutely blew the counselors away, but changed that woman's life. That's happening in Iran right now. Well, this November, we're going back to Turkey to do two of the leader schools, one in Turkish and one in Farsi for the Iranians. And we're flying 4 or 5 of the main leaders, if not more, from Iran into Turkey so they can take that school and just be filled with the Father's love and just get a revelation of how kind and good he is and get their own hearts healed up and get empowered by the Holy Spirit to just go back in there and do the business. And even now, there are 3 of their top leaders in prison in Iran. They are fighting it with everything they have, and you know what? They're losing the battle. We just may well live to see when Syria falls and then Iran falls and revival sweeps those nations. God relentlessly moving all over the earth. What is it? The scripture says, the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. As thoroughly as the water covers the ocean floor, so God is going to fill the earth and reveal his glory. Don't you want to be a part of that? See, we're absolutely in the best of times. The best of times. Well, what are you going to do about it? Why don't we take Toronto while we're at it? See, I wish I had glowing stories about what's going on in Europe. I mean, Toronto, Canada's better for sure. We came through the financial disaster. I didn't have that on my list, did we? By the way, there's a global economic disaster going on right now. How many are aware of that? Add that to your list of, you know, the boiling the frog thing. Thank God that Canada missed a lot of that because they had the foresight to restrain bankers and investors so that they couldn't leverage everything away, way out like has happened in the U.S. and other countries. But we are in that mess. Do you know the USA owes, if you'd allow me to digress to the negative side for a moment, they owe $14 trillion. The government. If you add the public debt to that, it goes up to something like $30 trillion. But the government owes $14 trillion. See, we're used to hearing these, a billion here, a trillion there. You know, throw it around, this large number. Listen, a trillion is a very, very, very large number. Let me quiz you. How long ago was a trillion seconds? One million seconds ago? How long ago was that? 1 million. 2 weeks. 2 weeks ago, 1 million seconds. A billion seconds ago, how long ago was that? 1979, a very good year, the year Carol and I were married. How many weren't even born yet in 1979? Where are you again? You missed a very, very good year. Okay, a trillion seconds ago, when was that? 29,000 BC. 31,000 years ago. A trillion is a very large number. And they are $14 trillion in debt. You know, there's just no way out. Fortunately, God is moving. You know, there was a guy named, his name will come to me, George Otis. He wrote a book in the late 80s and early 90s, and it was called The Last of the Giants. How many read that book, Last of the Giants? One? Okay, well, before he could get it to print, one of the giants fell, and that was communism. So he had to redo the whole manuscript, and there were three left. One was Islam, one was Hinduism, and the other was materialism, all those three. And we're watching where all three of those giants are absolutely shaking and trembling right now. Materialism, oh my goodness. Hinduism, it's just losing left, right, and center. And then Islam also is just being shaken right to its foundation. Exactly like the Lord said in Hebrews 12, everything that can be shaken will be shaken until only that which cannot be shaken will remain. If you can't be shaken, raise your hand. I am full of the anointing and the glory of God. My faith in Him is just solid. Nothing can shake me. Not death, not life, nor angels or principalities or powers or things present or things to come, height, depth, or anything else in all creation is able to separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Whew. Give your friend a nudge and say, man, we're living in some amazing days. And you get to be a part of history going to Latin America and sharing the gospel. Listen, I don't think I told you about Latin America. We've talked about Africa and China and Asia and Middle East and everything. Latin America is on fire for God. Amen. Anybody here from Latin America? Costa Rica. Wonderful. Carol and I were in Colombia 5 years ago. Colombia? We went down there for a pastor's meeting with Ricardo Rodriguez. We had three bodyguards assigned to us. One had a gun. We couldn't go anywhere without the gun. Carol started playing around with the guy with the gun. So he'd be standing against the wall, you know, he's on guard. And, you know, he was kind, but he was doing what he was hired to do. And he'd get on his little radio, you know, and so that's what he was doing. But Carol would shoot him. She would just go with the anointing. And he would like, what are you doing? And then it hit him, boom. And he'd just kind of slide down the wall, you know. It was the funniest thing. We had so much fun with that guy. Anyway, they had a fit. One day we went out the hotel. We were looking for, we just went for a walk. We never thought about bodyguards or anything. And this van came chasing after us. And they screeched up to a stop. All these guys jumped out like, what are you doing? What are you doing? Get in the car, you know. We even wondered if we were being kidnapped for a moment. But that was 5 years ago. I was just there with Jerry Anderson a month or 6 weeks maybe. And what a change. The whole country is just amazing. We spent time with businessmen who are taking their city for God, using the gospel, using the red principles and spreading all that values and principles. We spent an afternoon with General Perez, number two Air Force general in the nation. And he's telling us how they're putting a Bible study of the book of Proverbs in the Lared package through the entire military in the country. And 185,000 soldiers and sailors and airmen have taken this already. And they're going for the whole thing. They want everybody to take it. He says, if we don't deal with corruption, if we don't deal with lawlessness, if we don't deal with ungodliness, our country's not going to make it. We want God in our country. Well, we had with us a visiting general who was the Joint Chief of Staff from Honduras. And this general is hanging around with us for that whole day. He wanted to hear General Perez and see what they're doing so he can take it back to his country. But once we finished with that, he came with us over to the Lared office. And so I'm there, and Jerry says, hey, well, John's here. Anybody who wants prayer, just come on. We'll pray for you. So they all did, you know, and we had bodies on the floor, people shaking and laughing and carrying on. And this general comes up to me, and he says, will you pray for me? I want some of this. And he told me that his wife led him to Christ 2 years previously, and he wanted God in his nation. And so here's this. He's the Joint Chief, the most powerful military man in all of Honduras, under the power on the floor. And he got up from that after a minute and came back and said, I want more. I must have more of this. I must take this back. Will you come to my country and bring a team and minister to my soldiers? I said, oh, yeah, absolutely we will. So we got to plan that one, Jude. Yeah. I'm telling you, Latin America is ablaze. Brazil, Randy loves to go to Brazil. Oh, my gosh. And so much is happening in Brazil. We could talk about Argentina. We could talk about Peru. All over the place. Mexico now. Nothing is withstanding the power of the gospel. Hallelujah. Can you lift your hand and say, thank you, Jesus. That we, our eyes can see it and our ears can hear it. And we are experiencing all that you are doing all over the earth. Where the nations of the world are waking up. And so, Lord, I pray that Canada will be swept with revival. I pray that America will be swept with revival. And Europe will be swept with the revival of your presence in the name of Jesus. Pour out your spirit as you have said, Lord. In Jesus' name. Let's all stand, shall we? Oh, there's much more we could say, but we'll leave it at that. But it may be that your heart's grown cold or you're getting discouraged from Say, well, hey, there's not much happening in my neighborhood. Lord, I pray that God will give you eyes to see and ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches and doing all over. We'll be going back to Turkey, as I said, this November, having two schools. Guess where? In Izmir, which used to be called Smyrna. It's one of the seven churches in Revelation where the lamps are being lit back up again. I tell you, God is moving all over the earth. If your heart has grown cold because of the cares of life and the busyness and, the problems of maybe going to lose my job, or I lost a good job, I just got this lousy job now, and or whatever's going on, my marriage is in trouble, or my children, or whatever it is, the cares of this life are starting to choke you out. Be encouraged, my friend. God has not forgotten you. God has not abandoned you. He is moving all over the earth like never before in all of history. The earth is ripe unto harvest, and he is harvesting the earth. Pick a nation. It's happening there. Just pick one. It's happening there. If you're here today and you have never surrendered to Jesus, please don't leave that door until you get right with him. Say, why? Well, because, see, it's too dangerous. Jesus did not come to earth and die on the cross for no reason, so to make a great movie. It was absolutely essential that something be done about your sin and mine. He came to pay your debt so that you could be completely forgiven and start over and fall in love with the God of love. But if he has not paid your debt, you will pay it yourself. And woe unto you if you wait for that to happen. There's a lot we could say about hell, but we need to know hell is real. Jesus did not go through the cross because God was going to just save everybody anyway. Oh no, it was absolutely essential that the innocent die for the guilty so the guilty could go free. If you're burdened down by your own sin, if you're burdened down by life, you've come to the right place today. You need to know that all this is happening because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would simply believe in him would never perish but have eternal life. If you need him in your heart, maybe your heart's got cold, like I said, maybe you've never surrendered to him. If you need him, I want you to just quietly tell him in your own words. Just, close your eyes and say, oh, Jesus, I see all this. I've been a bit like that frog. I haven't been aware that the water's getting hotter and hotter and hotter, and something's going to blow all around me. I need Jesus. I need him in my heart and life. Last week we had a wonderful testimony of a man who had no time for God and suddenly found himself stung to death with jellyfish in Mauritius. And as he's dying, his mother comes to him and says, pray. And he said the Lord's Prayer. Wow. And then God raised him from the dead. What an amazing story. If you didn't hear that, you need to hear it, because it puts it in perspective. Life is serious. We're all going to die one day. And heaven help you if you don't know Jesus. So just surrender to him this morning. Maybe you want to give your life to him afresh. Lord, I've allowed busyness and the cares of this life to get all over me. And I'm sorry. I want you. I want to be absolutely full of oil and fresh and raring to go, full of faith, full of the anointing for these days that are upon us. I need you, Jesus. Come into my life. If there's anyone here who realized that you have been away from God, or you've never been born again, but this morning. The Holy Spirit has stirred your heart and said, and you have said, I want you in my life, Lord Jesus. If that's you, I want you to just take a very bold, brave step for me right now and unashamedly raise your hand. Say, I just asked him to come to me and be my Savior. Anyone? Could be we're all Christian here. But if there's anyone here, just be bold, because this is to be the best day of your life. Raise your hand and say, hey, that's me. Or the rest of us, I want to call us. Now's the time when we need to get serious about evangelism. Now's the time we need to get serious about our own hearts. Now we want to say, Lord, I want my life to count. I want to go on one of these mission trips. I want to help some people. I can't just sit back and watch the world go to hell. I've got to get involved and do something. Maybe it's politics. Thank God for godly prime minister again, and the way that whole election went. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for the ones who are godly, and they're getting involved in the school system and in the business world and the finance world and everything else, so that we can take these mountains for the glory of God. But Lord, challenge our hearts today. We want to make a difference. Okay, so if you'd like prayer for encouragement, just come on out of your seats and we'll end the meeting. I'll give it back to Pastor John. But Carolyn and I'll be here for a while, and we can pray and encourage you. Say, oh, Holy Spirit, we love what you're doing all over the earth. The earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Let your power come. I want to be filled with all the fullness of God, Lord. Nothing else matters. Nothing, nothing. Fill my world. Fill my heart. Fill my life with that amazing presence of the Holy Spirit that enables me to spread the kingdom of God and share the Father's love with everyone I meet, in Jesus' name. Oh, I worship you, Father. I worship you, Father. In Jesus' name. Here we come, Lord. We want to drink of you. We so believe in being overpowered by the amazing power and love of God. In Jesus' name, be filled. In Jesus' name, be filled, be filled, be filled, be filled. Lord, this is not old for us. We love this. Yes, it's been 18 years. We love it. We love it. Come again, O Holy Spirit. Fill me up. I want to drink of that new wine of heaven. Let it come more. Filled in Jesus' name. Bless her in Jesus' name. Bless her in Jesus' name. Fire on you right here. Fire on you right here. More. More, Lord God. More on them, Lord God. A fresh anointing fills you now. A fresh anointing fills you now. A wonderful fresh anointing overwhelms you now, my dear. Yeah. Again. Yes. Yes. Jesus, you're amazing. Thank you for coming to the earth. Thank you, Lord. Jesus, we soak these eyes in the anointing right now. You who open the eyes of the blind, heal this woman's eyes today. I call sight back into these eyes. Any damage from eye disease or from cataracts or any of that. In Jesus' name, it all goes. And just heal the nerves. I bless your eyes to see in Jesus' name. And Lord, I just bless her body to be absolutely filled with the Father's love right here. Freshly filled with Father's love. Oh, yeah. More, Lord. More, more, more. More, God. I love your presence. I love your presence, Jesus. Fire on him. Fire on him. In Jesus' name. Oh, yeah. Let that glory come. Let it come, the glory of God. Oh, we love it. Up we go, Holy Spirit. We present ourselves to you. Come and fill me now according to the Father's promise. Oh, fill me now. Jesus. Yeah, Jesus. Oh, yeah. Jesus, bless these people. Bless these people. Lord, you said in John chapter 7, if anyone is thirsty, let him come unto me and drink. And then out of his innermost being, rivers, rivers, rivers of living water would flow. Here we are, Lord. We come to you and we drink that new wine of the Spirit. We drink it. I 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 drink it. Oh. Oh, fear not. Just drink deep. That's the Father's promise to you. In Jesus' name. Whoa. In Jesus' name. Drink, 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 drink. It's your promised blessing, Father. You said that we would be filled with all of the fullness of God. The promised Holy Spirit. That's right. You're taking it there. That's going in, going in, going in. Going in, going in, going in. Deeply, 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 deeply. Deeply, 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 Holy Spirit. Just take your time, soak in that. That's love, that's life. It's, you're very safe where you are right there. You're very safe. Just keep taking it right there. Another wave of heaven comes upon them in Jesus' wonderful name. Another wave of heaven comes upon them now. Oh, I worship you, Jesus. Now then, more than he can possibly contain, let it come. Yeah. In Jesus' name, more, 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 more. More, Lord. Fill, 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 Holy Spirit. We so love it. We want you. We want you. Oh, Jesus.
We go. More, Lord, more, more. We want more. We love it. We love it. We love it. We love it. We come on. Fresh anointing of the Holy Spirit. Double, 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 double. More than he can possibly contain. More. Double it. Increase, increase, increase.
Increase, increase. Fire on him.
Fill him. Oh, more love, more joy, more peace. More love, more joy, more peace. Thank you, Father. In the name of Jesus. Oh.